Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey guys, Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to the LeadX Leadership Show, where we help you to stand out and to get ahead at work. Now, as you know, we like to switch things up here, keep it interesting, and to continue that tradition, today on the podcast, instead of me interviewing an expert guest, we're going to have the guest deep dive into their topic. You see, you'll be hearing audio from a LeadX webinar. Now, of course, there are dozens of great webinars on leadership, management, communication, productivity, and more, all archived in the LeadX app. Just visit leadx.org for more information about our webinar archive. So enough on the setup, enough background information. Here is Vanya Mathis to introduce our guest and to hand it over to them. Enjoy.
The key to lasting leadership and profit is strong employee engagement. And the key to strong employee engagement is a culture that continually generates leaders who are better than the generation before. That's why the five factors of a booming culture will unleash you and your team. Our host today is the owner and CEO of Forest Performance Group, the nation's fastest growing sales training company. He's a leading authority in culture change programs and an expert at creating high performance, high profit, and best place to work cultures. The winner of 7 International Stevie Awards for his training programs, he's also an award-winning author of 6 books, including Leadership Sales Coaching, which was rated as one of Selling Power magazine's top sales books. In 2018, his company, FPG, was named to the Inc. 5000 Fastest Growing Private Companies list for the third consecutive year, one of just 1,200 companies nationwide to achieve that honor out of more than 7 million. Please welcome Jason Forrest.
Hey, this is Jason Forrest, and I want to talk about today the five factors of a booming culture. But before we talk about the five factors, right now I want you to think about how would you define what a culture really is? To me, my definition of a culture is what happens behind the boss's back. You know, right now, if you have the culture you want, that means that you know with 100% certainty that your employees, your team, are doing exactly what they need to be doing as if you were right there next to them. If for some reason you're unsure about that, that of course is the gap. That's the culture that you don't want. And so what we've done is we've studied the five factors that create the most profitable culture that's out there. Because if you think about it, the number one profit leak in your organization is not your marketing, it's not your innovation, it's not your vendor cost. Your number one profit leak is your people's productivity. And what we have proven through our research is that if you can create a culture that people want to work for, then you can actually increase your profitability through your people's productivity. Now, what's interesting about me is that for the last 10 years, I've created a company called FPG. FPG stands for Forest Performance Group, and we're all about unleashing human performance, not potential. You know, a lot of our competitors talk about it's all about getting people to realize their full potential. Well, I think that's the beginning, not the end of actually great training. The great training is all about how do we get people to perform at their very best, not just know that they can achieve more. And culture has a lot to do with that. When I first started my company, it was all about sales training. It was all about going in there and showing people how to sell, which we still do that. We're the fastest growing sales training company in North America by Inc. magazine. But what I realized is that we would go in there and create these sales interventions. We would go in there and show an organization how to increase their sales, and we'd have tremendous game-changing results. And of course, after a couple of years of being with them, they decided to go on their own. And of course, all of the previous sales success went back to before FPG's intervention. And so at that moment, I realized that we needed to do something about the culture. We needed to change the culture so that the intervention actually took hold. Let me give you an example. You know, you think of the celebrities out there like Demi Lovato or any celebrity who's maybe gone in and out of rehab programs. You know, what happens is they go into a rehab program and they be completely cleansed of the drugs that they're on. They get rehabbed. And then what happens? They go back into the neighborhood, hang around with the same people that they hung around with before the rehab. And of course, they go back to pre-rehab addictions. Well, same thing goes with culture, is that, in order to really create a changed initiative, you have to make sure that the culture is reinforcing what you are wanting. I'll give you another example. Why is it that it's 100% illegal to drink and drive, yet right now, if you go to any 7-Eleven, any kind of gas station on a Friday, there's going to be single 40-ounce beers that a person can purchase on the checkout. I mean, everyone knows that no one buys a single 40-ounce beer to wait until they get home. If that's the case, they're going to get a six-pack, right? So why is it that it's illegal to drink and drive, yet all these gas stations are still selling single 40-ounce beers that everyone knows that people are going to drink that on the way home? Again, because the culture is always in control. It has nothing to do with the rules and the regulation. It has everything to do with your culture. If it's socially acceptable to do the things you would like your people to do, they're going to do it. If it's not socially acceptable, then of course they're not going to do it. And so again, the culture is always in control. So I'm going to show you the five factors that we all need to adopt and really reinforce in order to create that booming culture. And then at the end, I'll talk about a game-changing program that we actually just won a Stevie Award for, the best leadership development program in the world just this past year, on how do you create leaders that can impact this kind of culture. Because that's, of course, the success. That's the whole X factor. The five factors are efficacy, goals, approach, relationships, and altruism. Efficacy, goals, approach, relationship, altruism. So let's go through all five very quickly. So the first one is efficacy. So let me give you an example. Ben Zander is considered to be the most successful conductor of all time. He's the conductor of the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra. And even though he can't play every single instrument, and he actually was his natural instrument is the cello, what he realized is that his job is to unleash and to bring out the best in each of his musicians. If even though no one will ever hear Ben Zander play a single note, his job is to play through them, is to show them how their individual effort makes a difference, to show them how they can be the best versions of themselves, which is really all about efficacy. The next one is goals. Now, this is Mary Barra. Now, Mary Barra is the CEO of General Motors, and she is also considered to be one of the most powerful leaders in the world based on Fortune. Here's a cool story about Mary Barra. When she first started her career at General Motors, she started as an intern. But when she started as an intern 30-something years ago, she had this goal, and this goal was, someday I want to be a senior executive leader of General Motors. I want to be that person. She was very laser focused on what she was trying to accomplish, how she was going to get there, and why it was important to her. Now, why does that matter? Because it's important that we create more Mary Barras out there. We've got to have an organization, a culture, where everyone is very laser focused on what they're supposed to be doing, by when, how they're going to get there, and of course, what help do they need? What obstacles are in the way, and how can you help them, of course, as a leader? The third is approach. When it comes to the factor of approach, as it relates to cultures, you know, think of a Formula One racing team. Now, the most successful team of all times is Ferrari, and what's crazy is if you actually ask yourself, okay, what's the average time that it takes to pit a Ferrari? Right, so the car is flying in, and the pit crew has to change all four tires. Well, you know that the average time, the fastest time, is 1.92 seconds. I mean, think about that. Can you imagine getting 20 people to all work together in 1.92 seconds to change all four tires? Well, it's all about approach. Approach is the approach of how we execute business on a daily basis. How are we working together as a team to be more efficient and effective with what we do? So I want to ask you the critical thinking question right now, and that is, how is your team working together? Could they accomplish your goals based upon the approach of how they're running their business and how they're doing their day-to-day tasks as efficiently and effectively as Ferrari? The next one is relationships. Now, relationships are obviously key in business, but I want to specifically talk about the relationship of mentorship. Oprah, as we know, Oprah is considered to be the most successful talk show host of all times. But when she first started, she had a mentor, and that mentor was Phil Donahue. And what she did is she went to Phil and she said, "Hey, Phil, you're currently the best talk show host on the planet. And so I surrender to you. I need you to put me under your wing. I want to learn how to be you in my own way, of course." And so Phil coached her along the way. Even to this day, Oprah will say the reason why she's Oprah that we know today is because of Phil Donahue. So again, think about your own organization right now. Are you creating a culture where people have mentorship, where you're aligning people to work together? And of course, you're giving them the right coaching and the right skills on how can they be a mentor? It's not just telling them to be mentors, but it's actually teaching them how to be the right mentor. The next one is altruism. And so altruism is getting people to work for a higher purpose, where it's more than just a paycheck. Now, this is huge because of our millennial population we have right now. Right now in 2019, the average company has more millennials working for them than any other generation. Now, millennials, I want everyone to write this down, millennials will always choose purpose over profit. So right now, for example, if you can show your millennials, and really it's any individual, right? But if you can show your individual employee how their effort makes a difference and how what they're specifically doing is contributing to something greater, and how your company is on a mission to accomplish something greater, whatever that calling is, if you can show them that, then they create this kind of extra energy, this extra motivation, where again, every day they're called to work for you and serve what you're doing versus, again, it's just a paycheck. The lowest level of loyalty and lowest level of productivity for any employee is the loyalty of I'm loyal to the paycheck. If that's all I care about, then of course you want to raise the loyalty to your brand and then loyalty to the C-suite, the CEO and president. And then you want to be loyal to the department head, which is their direct supervisor. And then last, it's loyal to their team. You know, great organizations are loyal to each other. But again, it starts with that idea of altruism. Okay, so again, those are the five factors. And so now what I want you to do is I want to show you how you can make immediate changes starting today on impacting those five factors. Now, in order to do that, you need to recognize that the single most important variable in creating a profitable culture is your leader. Now, a leader has a lot of impact, right? Because think about this. You know, we became a leader because it was the next thing in our career path, not because we had a calling. And the thing that I teach leaders all the time is I want a leader to recognize that a leader is all about influencing. It's all about legacy. You know, if a leader realizes their job is to create a legacy, to impact people's belief systems, then everything kind of changes for them. Again, it becomes more of a calling than it becomes a title. And that's what leadership is all about. And so right now you can see a graphic here. That this is what we call our results matrix. And this is really how the human behavior works. And so if you're ever wondering why one person outperforms the other person or does things that a person doesn't do, well, that's because of this results matrix. So at the bottom level on the right-hand side, you can see your team. And you can see that programming is what they've been told to be true. So programming, of course, comes from their culture, comes from their parents, comes from the books they've read, the colleges they've attended, their peers, their family. Well, that drives their beliefs. Do they believe they're enough? Do they believe they're not enough? That drives their emotions. Do they have emotions of confidence and certainty and hope, or do they have emotions of fear and worry and dread? That, of course, drives their motivation. Do they have a want-to motivation or a have-to motivation? So I want to do these things or I have to do these things or I'm going to get fired. And then, of course, that drives behaviors. Or do they have productive, initiate-type behaviors, or do they have more of a wait-type behavior? And, of course, that drives your KPIs, which are your results. Now, the reason why I think it's important is because the single most influential person on your employees' programming is the leader. So it's what your leader does to them and how they treat them and how they talk to them is actually creating programming. And so we want to teach your leaders how to be better programmers, how to be better hackers. And the reason why I use the word hacker is because think of a computer. What does a hacker do? They go into a computer system, they rewire it to to do what the hacker wants it to do. Now, most people think of a hacker from a negative perspective, but I want you to think of a hacker from a positive perspective. Is that right now, your leaders are hacking your employees regardless if you like it or not. Some of them are hacking them to do the right things, the things that are above the line, the things that are profitable for you. And other leaders are hacking them to do things that are below the line and, of course, not profitable. But regardless, your employees are being hacked by your leaders every single day. So it's important, of course, to teach leaders how to do the right things. So let me give you another example of that, and I'm going to show you how to pull that off. So a traditional 360 that most people have probably taken in their career is a 360. It evaluates how the leader is performing from the employee's perspective. So a normal 360 will say, hey, Paul, my boss, is a very hard worker, or Paul is a very, he's very focused or very goal oriented. Well, the problem is it doesn't matter what people say about Paul. What matters is what Paul is causing his people to do. So what matters more is if Paul's a hard worker, can he program his employees to be a hard worker? If Paul has high integrity, can he program his employees to have high integrity and so forth? So that's what we're really working on when it comes to this. And so let's talk about how to bring this to life. So I'm going to go back through the five factors and I'm going to give you examples. So the first one is efficacy. Remember, it's all about efficacy is, does my effort make a difference? Do I understand the cause and effect relationship that when I do blank, it causes blank and the effect is blank? Research has said that if people understand the cause and effect of their behaviors, then they're more likely to repeat the behaviors when the boss is not around. If they don't understand how the connection works, then of course they're going to do it sometimes or not at all. So something that we do at FPG and our clients do is every Friday we have a thing called I'm Freaking Awesome Happy Hour. Now, of course, if the word freaking awesome is not in your culture, you can use something different, I'm awesome, or however you want to do it. But we have a thing called I'm Freaking Awesome Happy Hour, and it's where every person at the end of the week on a Friday, it's a required meeting, it's the last meeting of the day, goes around and they validate one other employee across functional on something they did, they saw them do that was great. They also affirm themselves using the statement, I'm freaking awesome because I did blank that caused blank and the effect is blank. I'm freaking awesome because I did blank that caused blank and the effect is blank. So again, remember your brain is constantly being hacked. And so the person who has the most influence over an employee's belief system is their own self-talk. And so if I can get their self-talk to say why they're freaking awesome and the cause and effect, again, it creates that hacking. It rewires their neural hard drive. And then of course, if their manager, if their leader is validating those things or their peers are validating those things, again, they're getting that social proof. Remember earlier I talked about we'll make it socially acceptable to do the right thing? Well, this is an example of course, how you can do that to change your culture. The next factor, of course, is goals. And what we do at FPG and what we teach is how to have it what's called a daily huddle. And so there's four simple questions that we use in our daily huddle. It's a 15-minute huddle. Every department does it on a daily basis. And they answer four questions. And that is, today I want to accomplish blank by when. So today I'm going to accomplish this. So what do you want to accomplish by when? Number two, why is that important? Number three, how are you going to get there? And number four is, whose help do you need? Like, where are you stuck? Whose coaching do you need? Most of the time people are stuck cross-departmentally. So sales needs something from marketing, or marketing needs something from the research application development department or operations. And so this is the stuff that will come up. I will tell you, one of the secrets of the most profitable organizations is how fast they can make decisions. And so we believe that the longest it takes for us to make a decision or to get something unstuck is only 24 hours. Most organizations take weeks, of course, to get something unstuck. And so again, goals are very focused. It keeps your organization very focused, just like that Mary Barra. The third one is approach. Approach is, again, how we run our business. And so you can see this is an example of that daily huddle that I was talking about, where everyone's standing up for 15 minutes and they're working through their strategies for the day and they're getting coached. The person who's looking at the screen right now, that's Mary Marshall. She's the president of FPG. And so she's running her huddle her huddle right now. And then those department heads will then go have huddles with their individual employees. And so again, it works very, very fast. Everyone's on the same page and everyone is getting game time coaching every single day. Again, you might be thinking, gosh, this seems like a lot of meetings. Well, it's actually not, because we're actually, since we only meet every day for 15 minutes, we actually end up having less meetings than most people, but we're getting things done faster and more efficiently. Now, the next one is relationships. The most important thing, I think, when it comes to having above the line impactful relationships is to always ask yourself the question, what is the positive intention of this person? Because behind every behavior is a positive intention. So for example, let's say you've got an employee who you feel like is doing something kind of below the line. So let's say maybe you have a salesperson who is not on board with your CRM system. That happens sometimes, right? Your customer relationship management system. And they're not putting everything in when it comes to paperwork. Well, what's their positive intention? Because if you go in it from a negative perspective and say, well, they're just being defiant, well, then again, you can't change the behavior. But if you can go in saying, okay, what's the positive intention? You'll probably find out that they want to make sales happen as fast as possible, which is a great positive intention because that's what their job is. Well, then you're able to coach them because you want them to make sales as fast as possible too. And they probably don't see the benefit of your CRM. And so then it's about showing them how your CRM can improve their efficiency and actually help them achieve their positive intention, which is to sell product and services faster. But again, always go in assuming the positive intention. Don't ever go in assuming someone's doing something intentionally negative. This is a much more effective approach. And the final one is altruism. So again, altruism is all about creating a culture where people can live out their highest purpose and that this is more than just a job for them. We have interns all the time, millennial interns that work for us for free. And they will tell us that most organizations, they go to work because they have to, not they want what they want to. We have employees that say they like to escape life to come to work because FPG is their sanctuary. We've won the best place to work in Fort Worth now 3 years in a row and one of the best places to work in Texas and by Inc. magazine, as well as one of the fastest growing companies in Inc. And so it is possible to create a profitable organization that's high growth and a best place to work. A long time ago, people thought they had to choose one of the three. They got a best place to work, but people weren't very productive and didn't create a lot of revenue, or you could create a lot of revenue and have a horrible place to work with turnover. And we've really proven that to be untrue. And I call it the unicorn trifecta. So the ultimate goal of every business leader's success is to have those three things: best place to work, fast year over year growth, and of course, profitability. So the final one is altruism. This is based on the six human needs psychology. This is like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, just an evolved version. So every human being wakes up every day and says, how do I accomplish my six human needs? Certainty, I want to feel safe. Growth, I want to feel like I'm getting better. Contribution, I want to feel like I'm making a difference. Variety, I want to feel like there's change in my life. Things get too boring, I want some change. Connection, I want to feel like I'm connected to a higher purpose or connected to my friends and people that care about me. And significance is I want to feel like I'm making a difference and I'm important and I matter. So something we do at FPG is we can give this to you if you email us. Just email us at sales@fpg.com, sales@fpg.com. And email, if you would like, we can give you our culture survey where we evaluate every employee, or every employee evaluates us based on the six human needs psychology. And then their leader, once a quarter, meets with them to go over their six human needs. And is FPG meeting those needs? And if not, what can we do to improve? And so, it works really, really well for us. Again, the goal is how can you create employees that are very addicted to your brand and to your organization? I heard a great recently from a speaker, and she said, do you have a culture where your employees want to wear a t-shirt with your logo on it? I thought that was a really great question. Do you have a culture where your employees want to wear a t-shirt with your logo on it? And if you create an altruism culture and you create a culture based on these five factors, they're going to want to be a brand ambassador for you, which of course is huge. All right. Well, my last story, and then I'll have a couple of final thoughts here, is this, and that is, these are my two kids, Mary Jane and Saunders, and I grew up in Texas, and of course grew up riding horses, and so I wanted to teach my two kids how to ride a horse. And so we go out there to a ranch and hire a wrangler, and he says, let me ask you, how comfortable are your kids riding horses? And he says, how about Saunders? And I said, well, Saunders never ridden a horse before, but he's definitely capable of he's got courage and he wants to learn how to do it. And he says, no problem. We're going to put Saunders on a 2012 model horse. So definitely not a younger model horse. What about Mary Jane? Mary Jane's a little more skittish, but she definitely will try anything. And, all right, we're going to put Mary Jane on a 2008 horse, a little bit older horse, again, a little more subdued. And of course, I got the youngest horse. So it's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and we're riding. And immediately the horses are getting restless because they wanted to get back and they wanted to go eat. And so we kept telling the kids, you know, control your horse, because the horses kept wanting to turn and go. Well, immediately Saunders' horse starts taking off and running towards the stable. And the wrangler says, Mr. Forrest, stay with your daughter. I've got your son. Well, of course, Mary Jane's horse starts taking off just the same and following Saunders' horse back to the food. And I immediately think, I've got to figure this out. So I immediately kick my horse, grab the reins of Mary Jane's horse, and put her horse back in submission and get her trained back in line. Well, so now we're all back on the trail again. Everything is fine. And Mary Jane, you know, yells at me and says, Dad, you know, can I please just have your horse? And I said, why? I said, well, your horse is so gentle and easy riding and my horse is so unstable. And I said, Mary Jane, you have a 2008 horse. I said, I have a brand new horse. My horse has lots of energy and is very young and it's much harder to control. But I said, Mary Jane, I want you to know something about horse riding. And that is that it's not about the horse. It's all about the rider. It's not about the horse, it's about the rider. It's about, now, but see, I think that's a great kind of leadership philosophy, right? Because, you know, I think leaders, it's all about the energy we put forth. It's all about taking control. It's all about our presence. And when our horses, our employees kind of get out of line or they get unstable or they get uncertain, it's all about our leadership presence. It's all about giving them that certainty. That's all the horse needs in that case, all an employee needs, all human beings. They need certainty. And when certainty is lost, all is lost. And so at FPG, we've developed a program, again, that's won the best executive development program in the world out of 40 countries just this past month. And if you go to fpgexecutiveplaybook.com, so again, fpgexecutiveplaybook.com, you can, of course, get more information about what we do. But it's a whole program where we take your leaders through a development process, showing them the impact they're making based upon the survey and the data. And then we have a program which we coach them along the way through videos and through follow-up and through coaching calls on how to become a leader that people want to follow, how to become a leader that, of course, encompasses all of these five factors. So that's it. So again, right now, my parting words to each of you is that, you know, again, you might not have signed up to be this leader. I know when I was told to be a leader, I took it for the wrong reasons. I took it because I thought it was the next level of my career. It wasn't until many years later that I realized I was making an impact in causing my employees to believe a certain way. And it was only then that I decided to take control over my life and become the leader that I needed to become. And so starting today, be that leader. Be the leader that people want to follow. Be the leader that hacks your people to become above the line, be profitable, and of course, love what they do on a daily basis. Thanks a lot.
Friends, if you like this episode of the LeadX Leadership Podcast, please take a minute, leave a rating on iTunes or Stitcher. Ratings are invaluable for attracting new listeners. And I like to convert those listeners into leaders because, you know, I'm on a mission to spark 100 million leaders in the next 10 years. And if you want to become the boss everyone fights to work for and nobody wants to leave, check out the LeadX platform with Coach Amanda at leadx.org. And if you have 10 or more managers who could use some binge-worthy training, send me an email at info@leadx.org, leadx.org, and we'll talk about getting you set up with a totally free pilot for those managers. See if they like it. If they don't, that's fine. We go away. Part as friends. But if they love it, you've just found yourself a new resource for them. Remember, leadership is influence. You're always leading. How are you going to lead today?